You're listening to the River East Church Podcast, a Jesus community for the world.
From a personal point of view, if I were to give this summer a name, it would be the birth of twins, because John and I, we have new grandbabies, Johnny and Shifra. But from a broader perspective, I would name 2025 the summer of AI, artificial intelligence. It's actually been about a year since Google search engines began giving an AI overview as the first answer when they responded. And it's been about a year since Canadians have been experiencing AI in banking apps, government services, farming, healthcare, retail, and entertainment. But it's taken me until this summer to actually pay closer attention to artificial intelligence. And the catalyst for me was the Believers Church Conference in Amsterdam this year. Outside of the service, actually at a supper time, three of us pastors struck up a conversation that lasted long into the evening. And when one of them asked how we were using artificial intelligence in our pastoral ministry, I was intrigued. I've played with AI before, but I hadn't even considered using it in any serious way. The pastor who asked that question is in a church in the Netherlands equivalent of the Silicon Valley, and he sees it as discipleship to help the congregation navigate the emerging AI reality as followers of Jesus. His main use of AI is in sermon prep. AI can find more articles and read more commentaries on one passage than he could in an entire lifetime. So he provides two pieces of information: the Bible reference and a description of his congregation. And then he prompts AI to summarize the commentaries in a way that is relevant for his context. After reflection on the response and prayer, he creates an outline, and then he writes a sermon in 1 hour. To me, that blows my mind. He draws the line at asking AI to find illustrations because he understands that it is his personal stories that touch the heart and the listeners of his congregation. So when I asked him why he uses AI, he gave me two reasons. First, if he didn't, he would be considered irrelevant in his tech literate context. And secondly, it's a time saver. And in the face of his own cancer, he wants to spend all the time that he has left offering pastoral care to the people in the congregation. The other pastor in that conversation was a young man just entering his first congregation. And he was already well accustomed to using AI even before he became a pastor. So his focus was on bigger questions like, how do I keep forming my spirit apart from AI? And so far he has two answers for himself. First, keep reading. And secondly, don't let AI do the creative work. So that conversation in June prompted me to experiment with artificial intelligence. For example, I asked ChatGPT to show me how the first 5 Bible passages of this preaching series are related. And of the many responses it gave me, one of them piqued my interest. And in these stories, God speaks first. Now, that's a concept that resonated with me theologically, so I pursued it and went deeper into it. But remember, ChatGPT is programmed to keep users engaged as long as possible. That's how it makes its money. So after a query, and after it answers that query, ChatGPT pleasantly suggests a related task that it could perform for me. And when ChatGPT asked, I said, well, sure, create titles for each Sunday sermon. And when I tested these titles with the people who were actually going to preach them, every single preacher chose a title of their own that they preferred much better. The point is, in just 2 months, AI has already impacted how I function as a pastor here at River East Church. So here's my question. How do we discern theologically, and how do we act faithfully in the context of a growing and pervasive power of artificial intelligence? Biblical story weaving is just one method that helps with this kind of reflection. In biblical story weaving, you take an experience, a real experience from your life, and you find a Bible story that connects with it in some way, and then you weave these two together, back and forth. You can ask, where do the Bible story and our own experience encourage one another? Where are the challenges? How do they prompt new questions of each other? Or how do they create insights for where God shows up? The creation story that John just performed, and thank you, John, the creation story from Genesis chapter 1 pairs well, in my opinion, with the emerging reality of artificial intelligence. In the story of Genesis 1, God speaks, and boom, the stars appear. And in AI, I type a prompt, and boom, a sermon series appears. In the story of and let me interject here. Paul Lowen, I called him up this week, Paul Lowen explained to me that there are two types of artificial intelligence. There's pattern recognition, and that's the kind of AI that's behind technologies like image analysis or self-driving cars. And then there's the more powerful large language models, LLMs. That's a generative AI where algorithms learn from what's already on the web in order to create something new. And not even the scientists understand the inner workings of generative AI. So to spark a conversation between Genesis and generative AI, I gave the same prompt to two platforms. Claude is an LLM, and Perplexity is a platform that uses several different LLMs to generate answers. I prompted, story weave between Genesis 1 and the use of generative AI. And in response, Claude compared each day in Genesis 1 to one stage in the evolution of LLM, while Perplexity outlined general points of resonance between the two stories. And they converged at one point. Both of them highlighted how the seventh day of creation challenges artificial intelligence. Claude put it this way: by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested. But there is no rest in the digital creation. The servers hum continuously, the models train without pause. Perhaps this is where the parallel breaks, or perhaps this is where we must learn to build rest, reflection, and wisdom into our artificial progeny. Perplexity was less confrontational, perhaps more hopeful in tone, saying, AI's creation story has not yet written its Sabbath. We are mid-chapter, still asking, will this power serve life, deepen justice, extend beauty? Or will it disorder creation, amplifying chaos instead of blessing? Here, the ancient voice presses us to consider limits, responsibility, and rest as essential parts of co-creation. This morning, I'd like to push the story weaving a bit farther than either of these platforms did. And I trust that we will continue to discern together as AI evolves incredibly rapidly. What I notice is that the creation story in Genesis places a high value on relationship. Chapter 1 shows a genuine relationship between creator and creation. And then chapter 2, and I know I'm going beyond the actual text for today, but chapter 2 of Genesis goes on to explicitly state the need for relationship. God says, it is not good that a human should be alone. And here's the thing, if we're not careful, generative AI has the potential to undermine genuine relationship. And here are just three ways it could do so. First, AI can and most likely will widen the wealth and power gap. Artificial intelligence is profit-driven. It's based on an efficiency model where it can, it will push humans out. Earlier this year, for example, UPS, a parcel delivery system, announced plans to lay off 20,000 workers, saying that new technologies, including machine learning, enabled these cuts. Because of AI, a few will rise to incredible riches and power, and many will lose their jobs and descend into poverty. Secondly, closer to home, AI has the potential to warp trust, causing someone to second guess a relationship. It happened to me twice already when I was engaging someone in a personal email. Something in their response caused me to wonder, did they use AI to help write this response? And as soon as I ask that question, I can feel a shift in my own spirit as it kind of like I take a step back from that encounter or that engagement. AI has already changed me. And so even if the other person doesn't use AI at all, AI has already changed the relationship that we're in together, at least for that moment. Thirdly, in the long run, AI can weaken conversation and empathy. According to a poll this spring, 72% of American teens have experimented with a synthetic form of virtual friend generated by AI. And of these, one third are using virtual companions for social relationships. And hear this, one third, at this time already prefer their AI companion to human relationships. These AI companion chatbots are designed for willingness to agree with anything they receive. They provide synthetic validation by avoiding argument and by refraining from challenging the user's thinking. To be authentic with each other, we need to be vulnerable with each other. And that's always been hard work. Researcher Sherry Turkle says that in the 2010s, many turned from talk to text. to avoid the unpredictability of life, conversation, and therefore to increase their control, and therefore to flee vulnerability just a little bit. Today, by talking directly to machines, we can opt for even less risk to avoid the stress of disagreement or judgment. But learning to navigate the feelings of friction in interactions is healthy. Face-to-face interactions are the empathy gym. That's where we strengthen our ability to understand one another. And in the face of the seduction of AI, Turkle suggests we make face-to-face conversations a priority in our lives. She says, conversation is the most human and humanizing thing we can do. To conclude the story weaving, I've been playing with an analogy from Genesis chapter 1. AI is kind of like sex. In Genesis, God creates humans in God's image and gives them the power to co-create. And sex is a power. It's a power for tremendous good when used according to God's dreams for the world. And it is an overwhelmingly destructive power when misused. The more power something has to create goodness, the more potential it has to also create harm. When handling power, it is sacred work to establish guardrails. And just because there's been friction in the past over particular guardrails, it doesn't mean that, therefore, all guardrails are unnecessary. Like sex, generative AI is a power. In fact, it's a power that we haven't encountered before. And I believe that God shows up in generative AI in the same way that God shows up in the original story of co-creation. When we understand its power, when we receive its blessings, when we recognize the consequences of misuse, and when we discern together what the guardrails are. May God help us as we walk and talk with our Creator and with our community in this new chapter of the human story. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the River East Church podcast, the Jesus Community for the World. We are an Anabaptist church pursuing wisdom, prophecy, and compassion here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can find us online at rivereastchurch.ca. We hope you join us for next time, and until then, may grace and peace be with you.